Funky dope.
Take it back now, y'all.
That's exactly what I said in my head.
Did you?
Yeah. Take it back Same now, brand. Y'all.
Oh my God. It's been a day already, and it's about 11 o'clock.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Lived a full life already.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amanda.
And welcome to Litty Titty Book Club, episode
7.
Hooray.
Lucky 7 already.
How long have we been doing this for?
When did we start?
6 months ago?
March-ish?
Yeah.
April? So. Something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What is time?
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about James by Percival Everett.
Yes.
This is a book that we read in our book club a month ago.
About a month ago, and we've since read a couple other books personally.
Yes. Yeah.
Collectively.
What have you read?
Yeah. I'm still working on Fourth Wing. That's, you
okay.
know.
Okay. That's just your...
Yeah, true honesty. Still working on Fourth Wing, but that's because other books keep coming up.
Like what?
Well, like we started...
Oh, our book club book?
Yeah, our book club book. And then we started William.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, and then that's pretty much it at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's just a busy time. It's Halloween. We're also living in a teacher strike, you know, here in Alberta. So I feel like it's just...
Yeah, it's been a busy couple months.
Yeah.
And I text you and I was like, I think two books was too ambitious.
Right? Amanda and I were like, do we dial it back? Were we like ambitious on that? But
I think maybe we'll try and see if we can do it another month. Like, let's see how November goes.
Yeah, we'll see how November goes. And also just go easy on us.
Yeah, I'm tired. Okay. Leave me alone.
Yeah. We're going to be cash couple episodes. We'll see how
it
goes.
I think so.
Yeah. We got this.
Because I'm tired. And this is just a fun thing.
Yeah.
If it was my job, I would be more invested. Yeah. All right. Let's
do today's James.
Yeah. Do an overview of James here. So James is the reimagining of the classic Mark Twain novel, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And it's told in the perspective of Huck's enslaved friend, James. And they are on the run. So James has overheard that he's going to be sold to a man from New Orleans. New Orleans?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. I don't know why I said that so weird.
It's Nolens.
Nolens. thus being separated from his family. And Huck has faked his own death to escape from a violent father. So the two embark on a dangerous journey down the Mississippi River together, trying to survive and come up with a plan for their next steps.
So some notable facts about our author. Percival Everett has been described as a literary icon. He is a Pulitzer Prize winner and a professor of English at the University of Southern California.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. His 2001 novel, Erasure, was adapted into a screenplay for the movie American Fiction, which took home an Oscar last year for Best Adapted Screenplay.
I have not even heard of this movie.
I want to watch it. It does look good.
Does it?
Okay. Yeah. And... actually, Universal has picked up the film rights for this book, James, which Percival Everett is in the works of writing a screenplay for. Steven Spielberg will be the executive producer on this project. And there are talks that Taika Waititi may direct this film.
Oh.
He's my boyfriend.
Do you love him?
Yeah, I love him.
I do love him, too.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
That's cool. I did not know any of that.
Right?
That's
yeah.
That's really cool.
I did a little deep dive, but maybe a shallow dive. But
shallow.
I did a dive. Yeah, I dove.
But that's crazy. Like Steven Spielberg, Taika Waititi.
I think because his first screenplay did so well and was in up for quite a few Academy Awards, that they're like...
That makes sense.
This is, you know, this man's brilliant. Let's do another movie.
Yeah, I wonder if any of his other stuff's going to get adapted. Because he has quite a few books.
Quite a few books.
Yeah. So what was your first initial impression of the book?
I was enjoying kind of that parallel to The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Did you remember that book at
No,
all?
I never read it.
Okay.
I loosely knew the story. So my experience with that whole universe is just from the Disney movie.
Okay.
Tom and Huck.
With Jonathan Taylor
with
Thomas.
JTT. Rachel E. Cook.
Yes.
And it was actually one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Oh, sweet.
One of the actors actually is a family friend.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
What?
Shout out Eric Schwig. He was a close friend of my family's that I've known him like my whole life. And so
that's so cool.
Yeah. So that was cool. We got to like see him on the big screen. He's been in a couple other movies since. I loved Jonathan Taylor Thomas as a kid.
Obviously.
Like, who didn't?
Right?
Were you even a 90s girl?
Seriously.
If you weren't all about that
he
haircut.
He was like heartthrob, posters on my wall.
Right? Yeah. So that's pretty much the storyline that I knew. But otherwise, this book gave me the direction that I do want to kind of maybe check those out, even though there's a little bit of controversy with Mark Twain being the author with some of the the content and, you know, but it sparks a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
Overall, I think it's an interesting story to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that journey. I love
the different perspectives. Yeah.
But yeah, this book, James, I really enjoyed that it was from Jim's perspective.
Yes. I started the book and I had just come off of reading like a dark military romance book.
Yeah.
So hopping into this one, it was really hard to get into.
Yes.
Because that's the vibe I'm coming off of. It's like romance, danger.
Right. Right. And then you have to kind of shake it off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did the audiobook for this one.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad I did because the narrator is amazing. I really enjoyed the audiobook. But I don't know how much I loved this book. It's not really my kind of book.
Yeah.
I can appreciate the storytelling, but the writing wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty basic and plain. I like a lot of prose, and like, when I read it, I want to be like, God, how did they come up with that analogy or that metaphor or that sentence? It's so pretty.
Right.
And this one was just pretty, I don't know. It kind of held the line of like being really well written and then also just basic for me.
Right. I wonder if it's because it is quite in line with the Mark Twain story. But I mean, directionally, he did go with the being in the perspective of James.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how much he could have strayed from the actual storyline.
And it wasn't the storyline, though.
Yeah.
It was like the storyline was good.
Style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, maybe it was the whole thing. I just was not into it.
Right.
It was not my cup of tea.
Well, it's becoming a movie. I wonder if it'll be.
Maybe
I'll
like
it'll
the
make
movie
a good
better.
Movie.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year. So I always talk about like atmosphere in the book.
Yeah.
And because I, you know, that's kind of the vibe when I'm choosing books at certain times of year. And so I'm thinking, you know, we're into that, like, you know, Mississippi River, you know, kind of southern,
I could picture
southern
everything.
Landscape. I thought it was a good setting for this type of read, this kind of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a lot of, I think the big topics that come up are sort of putting yourself in the shoes of James and that life. And we've touched on that topic with other
and
books.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
everything
he experienced, I was like, this is the worst.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's just such a reminder that it's not just a work of fiction.
You know, as a white passing Métis Cree person.
Yeah.
I've never had that experience. We've talked about this in Hell of a Book.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just wild that people thought like this or still think like this.
I know. Yeah.
It's horrible.
And just some of the language they would use, you know, dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Oh, it just rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel so bad.
Yes. Let's talk about the characters.
Yeah.
Because there was actually a lot of characters.
There were quite a few because they have this journey down the river. They run into a lot of people.
Yeah.
Meet lots of different people.
Exactly. So we have James, who also is known as Jim throughout the book. He's the narrator and the protagonist of the novel. He's an enslaved man from Hannibal, Missouri.
Missouri. Huck, a white boy from Hannibal, and he is the one that goes on the run with Jim.
Yeah, and then we have Jim's family, Sadie, his wife, and Lizzie, his daughter.
Then we've got Doris, Old Luke, and Albert, our other men who are enslaved with Jim in Hannibal.
Okay, we got Miss Watson, the white woman who keeps Jim enslaved in Hannibal.
Judge Thatcher, he's a local judge, and he's in charge of Huck's money.
And then we got the king and the duke.
Right.
And those are two white swindlers who I initially really liked.
I know. And then
I was like, oh, you guys are bad.
Right. I was kind of, you know, they were kind of an interesting vibe.
Yes.
At first. And then Daniel Emmett. So he's the leader of the minstrel group, the Virginia Minstrels.
And then we got Norman, a black man in Emmett's band who passes as white.
And several other characters that Jim meets along the way.
There's a lot. There's a lot of side characters.
So we talked about the plot, the pacing a little bit.
Twists? Were there any really I don't know.
There was one big twist. Yeah.
There was a
numero uno twist.
Which I saw in the beginning.
Yeah.
We're just going to spoil it. Yeah. Okay, but did that happen in Huckleberry Finn?
Yes.
It did?
I think so.
I have no idea.
We have to find out. Fact check.
You find out that James is Huck's dad.
Biological father.
Yes.
And they sort of give you the idea with these little hints throughout the book. My favorite one was this genetic trait that they both have a widow's peak.
Yeah, and that was like, mentioned very early on. And as soon as
they said that, I'm like, oh man, that guy's daddy.
Totally, totally. And he's like, I knew your mom. And I'm like, totally his father.
And we also both have a widow's peak.
Yeah, but Huck is white passing.
Very.
Right?
Yeah, I think there's discussion as well about how James is sort of lighter skinned as well.
He is, yes. Yeah,
so that's a topic as well. The relationship that he has with James, where mm-hmm. they are really good friends. Huck is very upset about the treatment
of the enslaved people. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's been close with James, it sounds like, for most of his life. And he's a good friend of his. They have all these different conversations between the two of them. I actually really loved their banter and their conversation that James and Huck would have. And they were talking about genies and if they were to have wishes.
Right.
And so Huck had two wishes, and one was adventure, and the other one was for James to be free. And then he said, never mind, I want all people to be free. I loved Huck as a character. I think he was meant to be about 12. Mm-hmm. So that was what I kind of gathered. I don't know if they actually said it, but...
Seems younger because he was not educated, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of educated, though, James...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a learned man.
He was secretly educated. He could secretly read and write. And that was a big topic that kept coming up through the book. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was like he had a class where he was teaching everyone.
Yeah.
And so he's saying to the peers that he's with, he says, you know, but don't say it like that when you're around white people.
Yeah.
Make sure you say it like this because they want you to sound dumb. And you're
they want to be smarter than you.
Yes. And so you wonder, you know, if that rang true, if this was actually a practice of some people.
That it had to have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And are they using like a character or language in front of, you know, the white people?
Mm-hmm. It had to have been.
It's a survival tactic.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like, how do you get by? It kind of felt like, oh, we have the up and up on them. Like, they don't know about this. We are, like, all secretly super smart.
Yeah. And
which, love that for them.
Yeah. And James, like, when he, so they end up raiding some robbers' loot. Mm-hmm. They find the loot and they've got, I forget what's in there, some jewelry, whatever. But James finds a stack of books, mm-hmm. and that's the treasure for him. He's like, oh my gosh, like,
it's interesting that he doesn't books. Like fiction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you think he would want that escape from the life you're in, like, to want that fiction, but he was reading like all of these like philosopher novels,
right?
And he would have these visions of these philosophers coming to talk to him about being enslaved and what that meant and why they thought it was okay. And
it was thought provoking for him.
Yes. And it was a really like cool thing to have in there, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It really made it. There's a lot of character depth for him.
Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know because I hadn't read Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah.
He probably didn't have that level of depth, of course.
No, he was just side character, right?
Yeah. I think a side character. I need to read that book so I have something to reference and compare. I'm not sure if Mark Twain painted James to be so intellectual the way we know him in Percival Everett's book.
I don't think so, because I think what Percival Everett did was take the way that Mark Twain wrote black characters and mm-hmm. the way they spoke in Huckleberry Finn.
Right.
And I think that's why he gave them that element of like, we're actually just doing this. We're dumbing ourselves down so you white people feel better.
Right.
I think that's kind of the twist in it,
yes,
of rewriting it.
Yeah.
I think that would make most. I don't think Mark Twain back then would have been like, I'm going to make these people secretly smart.
Right. Yeah. It was interesting. It was an interesting way to write him.
Yeah. It was a good.
And there were other characters.
Plot thing.
Yeah. And there were overall characters. I feel like everyone had their own personalities and way of speaking, and it was interesting. We did bounce around to a lot of different people,
mm-hmm.
but like the king and the duke, that was kind of like those were some funny interactions, but they later ended up being a little bit, you know, shade.
Oh, totally.
Shadesville.
And then you think that Daniel Emmett of the Virginia Minstrels would have been like a good guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, he seems that way.
He was like, I don't own you.
Mm-hmm. Until you run away.
Then I'm a bad guy.
Now I have this entitled feeling.
Totally.
Of owning a person, right?
Did you like Norman?
Norman, I did. I had a hard time picturing Norman. Like, I just felt he had this oafish quality.
So Norman is the black man in Emmett's band who passes as white. Him and James kind of run away from the band.
Yes.
And I was very scared that he was going to turn on James.
Me too. Yeah. I know. I couldn't tell if I could trust him. And then I know he couldn't tell if he could trust James. And then there was that moment where James had to make a life decision.
That was so sad.
And it was very sad. Yeah. And but Norman, I feel like he had his own sad history that I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Because he had a wife that he was saying is
he wanted to buy her freedom. Yeah.
Yes.
The reveal of James saying, "Oh, I'm your father, Huck." It felt very anticlimactic to me.
Oh, yeah. I wish there was a little more heart behind it for sure.
He saved Huck from drowning and then he was like, "Because I'm your dad."
Okay. And then Huck wanted to dive in a little more and he kept kind of bringing it up and James is like, "No, never mind." And
it was kind of odd, I think.
It was a little, but then it kind of at least it sort of opened that up, that door for Huck. And then James, of course, is, you know, trying to protect him, saying, "You don't want to be in my world. Those white people love you." Mm-hmm. You know, that judge has got money for you, apparently. So yeah, it's like,
you're like, just live your life, dude.
Yeah. So, but it was anticlimactic the way he told him.
It was just very flippant and like in passing. Oh, I thought this was supposed to be a huge reveal.
Why wouldn't I save you? I'm your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, what?
You liked the book. It wasn't my favorite, but the more we talk about it, the more I do see that I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up Amy again. We were talking on the...
Shout out.
We were talking on the way back from book club, and she was saying how she kind of wished there was more adventure-y stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of agree, but on the other hand, the enslavement of James and black people was what was the forefront of the story.
Yeah.
And I think if you had any more adventure, there would be less of that. And it would kind of be a flippant book. Like, it would just be not as important or relevant,
I don't think it was overly long.
No.
It was definitely a short book where, it did sort of, you know, graze over those parts where they're in the woods surviving.
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't go very far, it doesn't seem. And because they're always able to find each other again.
Exactly.
Like they'll kind of separate and then shit happens and then it's like, oh, Huck, how'd you get here? And they're able to find each other again. Yeah, so it's true. Again, if I read the other book and I find out like where Huck was, because I don't think we know that from Mark Twain's book is what James is doing when they separate.
Exactly.
And
yes.
For me, as a person who only read James, I don't know what Huck's up to when they separate.
Well, you kind of get a sense of it. You kind of get where Huck has been. I did look up the synopsis of Huckleberry Finn and like the plot points because I had never read it. I like watched the Disney show a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
You didn't watch it two times a day like I did?
No, sorry. I was watching Casper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I keep you?
God. Oh, my heart.
All right. These 90s heartthrobs.
Yeah. So it is very much the same outline of Huckleberry Finn, and you do get glimpses into what Huck's story was.
Right.
From when Jim runs into him, because you do have that kind of little bit of interaction. But it would be interesting to read Huckleberry Finn after reading this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I bought that Julia book when we read 1984.
Yeah.
I do have the Julia book now, so I do want to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear about her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if I could go back and read Huckleberry Finn, honestly, because of how the writing style is and how, like, those classic books. 1984 was so hard to read.
It was, yeah.
And so I feel like Huckleberry Finn will be the same.
It's, put it this way, I feel like we've got a stack on our TBR.
Yes.
And Huckleberry Finn's not at the top.
It's at the very bottom.
Yeah, it's maybe when we can get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still would be interesting.
Maybe just watch the show again.
I feel like the show has no, like, the tie is there. Like, there's no James.
No.
Yeah.
There's no James. It's Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn,
it's
right?
About them. Yeah. 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 And I forget the plot, even though I watched it so many times.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's reflect on Jim's narration. So he switches between the vernacular speak, which is kind of like the quote-unquote slave speak. So right. It's very like broken English. Doesn't sound like they know a lot of words.
Yeah.
And James has standard English. Yeah.
Yeah. He's intentionally dumbing down some of his vernacular.
Yeah. And it's interesting how he kind of switches between that with Huck mm-hmm. and he like catches himself and he's right. like, oh, never mind. And Huck's like, why are you talking like that?
Why are you talking like that? Yeah. I didn't notice it, you know, so obviously because I was listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I was reading it in a book and I could see changes in the writing style, it would have been a little more obvious.
Yeah.
But the way I was listening to it, conversations were flowing.
Yeah.
Until Huck would say, why are you talking like that? And I'm thinking, oh, was he talking? It was quick.
It was just like one sentence. And then James would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, when he kept saying, oh, Lordy.
Oh, yeah.
For like an exclamation.
Lordy. I use the generic universal Lordy.
Yeah. Just to not give anything away. Yeah. So there was one part where he says it when they're in the tent after he's part of the band or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had played a show.
Which, God, that was stressful.
Oh, it was so weird,
and
too.
And weird, yeah.
So you have this white man come up to James being like, man, your wig looks super real.
Right.
How did you get that? And he tries to touch it, and James is like, ugh, get away.
Jesus.
And then the middle of the night, James wakes up, and this white man is in the tent, touching his hair.
Touching his hair. Like,
this wig, I can't get over it. And I'm like, you are a psycho.
Yeah, back off, brother.
God, that was so weird. James wakes up, and he's like, oh, Lordy.
Yeah. Aw, James.
It was good. Yeah. I liked that. It was a weird part, but I liked the expression.
It made me stressed. Yeah.
It did make me stressed. Yeah.
Like, what is this guy doing in here? They're going to find him out.
Totally. If you were James, what would you do? Would you run away?
Oh, my gosh.
If you found out you were going to be sold?
I mean, so he talks in the beginning how he's like, I'm not actually running away. Mm-hmm. I'm not a runaway.
Yeah.
I just need to figure it out kind of thing. And so he goes in the woods. And it's like
he's across the river. Like across the river.
Yeah. And he's there for like a night or two or whatever. And then Huck shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all of a sudden they're both in this together. Mm-hmm. But if I overheard that and I knew that I had like a wife and a daughter, I'd be so scared to leave thinking that something would happen to them.
Totally. I think I would have brought them with me.
Yeah. They're going to punish them for my absence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wouldn't be able to be away wondering.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't assume that they'd be okay. And they ultimately kind of weren't. Like, he did have to go find them and save them.
Yeah. Spoiler, I didn't finish the book. Oh, my God.
Oh.
I literally was listening on, like, 1.75 speed because I was like, hurry up.
Yeah.
So everything to me felt very rushed.
And this is why she says she didn't like the book, because she didn't let herself like it.
It's true. Yeah. It's my fault. You should read it. But
when the time is right. It's definitely a vibe that you have to be into and ready for.
Yeah. So listen to Amanda's review of this, not mine.
Well, you can meet in the middle.
It's my own fault.
Yeah. Overall, I think it was well received from the book club for the most part.
Yeah, I do think everyone liked it. There was a lot of people who had read it before and then they listened to the audiobook. And Andrea said she did that. You go, girl. I couldn't read it and listen to it. I don't think so.
Right. Well, I think she said she like caught some details that she missed, which happens mm-hmm. most of the time when you go back on a story.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I might dive in and read the physical copy one day.
One day. After Huck.
Yeah. And the other 30 books. Just kidding.
Totally.
Overall, though, my rating, like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. I think I'm a 6. The more we talk about it, the more I like it.
Yeah.
Which I think is the point of a book club and like reading books, is to talk about them with other people.
Yeah. And ones that you normally wouldn't be picking up.
Exactly.
Yep.
Are you recommending this book to anybody?
I am. I'm recommending it to people who like literary fiction.
Yeah.
And who have kind of dove into that before.
Yeah.
And this is a nice sort of opportunity to have a reimagined story.
Mm-hmm.
Praise on that, the reimagining.
Yeah, if you like reimagined stories and if you like different perspectives from the same story, definitely you mm-hmm. should read this.
It's not at the top of my recommendations.
No, definitely. But it was a great book. Everyone's recommending it. So
she's got a Pulitzer Prize.
Don't listen to me.
Yeah. So I think it's worth it. And it's not a huge undertaking.
No.
You can definitely breeze through it and get the feel for it.
And get the audiobook if you like audiobooks. Because it was a great audiobook, even though I didn't finish it. I had like half an hour left. Like, just leave me alone.
There's a teacher strike, okay?
Yeah, I'm busy. I got D&D to play. In 2 weeks, we are reading.
We are going to take it a little scary this time.
I'm excited. We're going to be reading William by Mason Cole.
Yes, William. And this one is, like, the cover is scary as hell.
Oh, yeah. So freaky. I saw it in the bookstore and I was like, I'm going to get that one.
Everyone Google it and then try to sleep at night.
Yeah, I am really excited to dive into this one. I think it's going to be a cool book.
Yeah,
spooky Halloween book. So don't forget to follow, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yep.
And you can find us on
Instagram at Litty Titty Book Club.
Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye.